Hi everyone, my name's Otis Gray, and you're listening to Sleepy. A podcast where I read old books to help you get to sleep. Tonight, I am so happy to say that this episode is sponsored by Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. If you've been listening to the show, many of you know that the great irony of me making this at all is that I really do have trouble falling asleep myself. But I've got this old friend that I visit quite a bit, and in his extra room is a Purple mattress, and curling up on it is one of the best feelings ever. Purple's revolutionary material was designed by an actual rocket scientist, and it is uniquely comfortable. It ends up giving you this zero gravity-like feel, so it works for any sleeping position, even for side sleepers like me. Plus, it's super breathable and helps you keep cool all night long. You can order a Purple mattress with a 100-night risk-free trial. So that means if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty with free shipping and returns, and even free in-home setup and old mattress removal. You are going to love Purple. And right now, sleepy listeners will get a free Purple pillow with purchase of a mattress, which I can tell you is just as uniquely comfortable as the mattress itself. And that's in addition to all the great free gifts that they're offering site-wide. So, I know you're going to sleep, but before you do, just text OTIS to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow is to text OTIS to 84888. That's OTIS to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. I would also really like to thank all of our new patrons on Patreon.com. Rebecca, Patty Rook, Sarah Linden, Mark Wapple, Emma Fisher, Lori and Amber, Dominique Gauthier, Brittany, Sasha Lewis Frazier, and Teresa Roguski. And we have a very, very special shout out to James Thompson, who is a listener of the show, and his wife, Keely. Got him a Patreon $5 membership to the poetry readings for his birthday, which is coming up. So, just want to say, James, happy birthday. I'm really glad you like this show, and I really hope that you enjoy the poetry readings. Keely's awesome, so thank you to Keely as well. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about right now, these are all patrons on patreon.com/sleepyradio, where you can go on and support the Sleepy podcast with small monthly donations, $1, $2, $5 a month, and $5 a month gets you access to a special Patreon poetry feed where I send you poetry readings twice a month just for donating, just like James Thompson. So if you get a lot of that out of the show and it maybe helps you sleep, consider going to patreon.com/sleepyradio. And donating even $1 a month. It goes a really long way. And I will read your name in the opening credits of the next show, of course. So again, that's patreon.com/sleepyradio. Thank you. And as always, the music that you're hearing is by my good friend James Lepkowski, and the cover art for Sleepy is by Grace Kana. So, it is finally here, sleepy listeners. Another spooky October. I know last year when we did some scary readings for October, some people weren't really a fan. Luckily, there's a lot more episodes to listen to. But a lot of you really, really liked the kind of scarier stories. We read Frankenstein and Dracula, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which was an amazing, amazing book to read for the first time, weirdly enough. And I'm pretty happy to have some spooky books coming up this month that I think you are absolutely going to love. And to start off, I figure a really good way to kick off October is to start with The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. I think as soon as October comes, a lot of people think of this poem, particularly, anyway. So, tonight, I am going to start with The Raven, and then kind of meander into some of his other writings, so that you can doze off to a deep, deep slumber and hopefully not keep you awake with weird dreams of ravens. So, happy October, and now is the time for you to fluff up your pillow just how you like it. Get real comfortable. Feel yourself melt into your bed. Close your eyes and let me read to you. The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more." I distinctly remember it was in a bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating to some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more. Presently, my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly a forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened the door. Darkness there, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long before I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was whispered the word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of palace, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then, this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum and the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven. Ghastly grim, an ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on thy night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled, this ungainly fowl, to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast, upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than the uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by a reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what are others, is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore. But the raven still beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of the bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by a seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee respite, respite, and a panth from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind a panth, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil. Prophet, said I, thing of evil. Prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest toss thee here ashore, desolate, yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore. Is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, on starting. Get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him, streaming, throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul, from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore. The bells. Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night, while the stars that oversprinkle all the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time in a sort of runic rhyme to the tintinnabulation that so musically wells from the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells. Hear the mellow wedding bells, golden bells. What a world of happiness their harmony foretells. Through the balmy air of night, how they ring out their delight. From the molten golden notes, and all in tune, what a liquid ditty floats to the turtle dove that listens while she gloats on the moon. Oh, from out the sounding cells, what a gush of euphony voluminously wells. How it swells, how it dwells on the future, how it tells of the rapture that impels. To the swinging and the ringing of the bells, 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 of the bells, 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 to the rhyming and the chiming of the bells. Hear the loud alarm bells, brazen bells. What a tale of terror now their turbulency tells. In the startled ear of night, how they scream out their affright. Too much horrified to speak, they can only shriek, shriek, out of tune, in a clamorous appealing to the mercy of the fire, in a mad expostulation with a deaf and frantic fire, leaping higher, 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 with a desperate desire and a resolute endeavor, now, now to sit, or never, by the side of the pale-faced moon. Oh, the bells, bells, bells. What a tale their terror tells of despair. How they clang and clash and roar. What a horror they outpour on the bosom of the palpitating air. Yet the ear, it fully knows by the twanging and the clanging how the danger ebbs and flows. Yet the ear distinctly tells, in the jangling and the wrangling, how the danger sinks and swells, by the sinking or the swelling in the anger of the bells, of the bells, of the bells, 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 in the clamor and the clangor of the bells. Hear the tolling of the bells, iron bells. What a world of solemn thought their monotony compels. In the silence of the night, how we shiver with affright at the melancholy menace of their tone. For every sound that floats from the rust within their throats is a groan. And the people, the people, that they dwell up in the steeple all alone, and who tolling, tolling, tolling in that muffled monotone, feel a glory in so rolling on the human heart a stone. They are neither man nor woman, and neither brute nor human. They are ghouls, and their king it is who tolls. And he rolls, 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 rolls a peon from the bells, and his merry bosom swells with the pain of the bells. And he dances and he yells, keeping time, time, time in a sort of runic rhyme to the paean of the bells, keeping time, time, time in a sort of runic rhyme to the throbbing of the bells, 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 to the sobbing of the bells, keeping time, time, time as he knells, knells, knells in a happy runic rhyme to the rolling of the bells, 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 to the tolling of the bells, 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 to the moaning and groaning of the bells. Al Araf, Part 1. Oh, nothing earthly, save the ray thrown back from flowers of beauty's eye, as in those gardens where the day springs from the gems of circus eye. Oh, nothing earthly, save the thrill of melody in woodland rill, or music of the passion-hearted. Joy's voice so peacefully departed that, like the murmur in the shell, its echo dwelleth and will dwell. Oh, nothing of the dross of ours, yet all the beauty, all the flowers that list our love and deck our bowers adorn yon world afar, afar, the wandering star. 'Twas a sweet time for Nisachi, for there her world lay lolling on the golden hair, near four bright suns, a temporary rest, an oasis and desert of the blessed. Away, away, mid seas of ray that roll empyrean splendor o'er the unchained soul, the soul that scarce the billows are so dense can struggle to its destined imminence. To distant spheres, from time to time she rode, and lay to ours the favored one of God. But now the ruler of an anchored realm, she throws aside the scepter, leaves the helm. And amid incense and high spiritual hymns, laves in quadruple light her angel limbs. Now happiest, loveliest in yon lovely earth, when sprang the idea of beauty into birth, falling in wreaths through many a startled star, like a woman's hair mid pearls, until afar it lit on hills Achaean, and there dwelt. She looked into infinity and knelt. Rich clouds for canopies about her curled, fit emblems of the model of her world. Seen but in beauty, not impeding sight of the other beauty glittering through the light, a wreath that twined each starry form around, and all the opaled air in color bound. All hurriedly she knelt upon a bed of flowers, of lilies such as reared the head, on the fair Capo Ducato, and sprang so eagerly around about to hang upon the flying footsteps of deep pride of her who loved a mortal and so died. The cephalica, budding with young bees, upreared its purple stem around her knees, and gemmy flower and Trebizond misnamed, inmate of highest stars, where erst it shamed all other loveliness, its honey dew, the fabled nectar that the heathen knew, deliriously sweet, was dropped from heaven and fell in gardens of the unforgiven, in Trebizond, and on a sunny flower, so like its own above, that to this hour it still remaineth, torturing the bee with madness and unwonted reverie. With madness and unwonted reverie. In heaven and all its environs, the leaf and blossom of the fairy plant and grief disconsolate linger, grief that hangs her head, repenting follies that full long have fled, heaving her white breast to the balmy air like guilty beauty chastened and more fair. Nystanthes too, as sacred as the light, she fears to perfume, perfuming the night, and Clytia pondering between many a sun, while pettish tears adown her petals run, and that aspiring flower that sprang on earth and died, ere scarce exalted into birth, bursting its odorous heart and spirit to wing its way to heaven from garden of a king. And Valisnarian lotus thither flown from struggling with the waters of the Rhone, and thy most lovely purple perfume, Zante, Isola d'Oro, Fior de Levante, and the Nelumbo bud that floats forever with Indian Cupid down the holy river, fair flowers and fairy to whose care is given to bear the goddess song in odors up to heaven. Spirit that dwellest where in the deep sky the terrible and fair in beauty vie, beyond the line of blue, the boundary of the star which turneth at the view of thy barrier and thy bar, of the barrier overgone by the comets who were cast from their pride and their throne to be drudges till the last, to be carriers of fire, the red fire of their heart, with speed that may not tire and with pain that shall not part. Who livest? That we know. In eternity we feel, but the shadow of whose brow, what spirit shall reveal? Though the beings whom thy Nisachi, thy messenger, hath known, have dreamed for thy infinity a model of their own. Thy will is done, O God. The star hath ridden high through many a tempest, but she rode beneath thy burning eye. And here in thought to thee, in thought that can alone ascend thy empire, and so be a partner of thy throne, by winged fantasy, my embassy is given, till secrecy shall knowledge be in the environs of heaven. She ceased, and buried her then burning cheek, abashed amid the lilies there, to seek a shelter from the fervor of his eye, for the stars trembled at the deity. She stirred not, breathed not, for her voice was there. How solemnly pervading the calm air. A sound of silence on the startled ear, which dreamy poets name the music of the sphere. Ours is a world of words. Quiet we call silence, which is the merest word of all. All nature speaks, and even ideal things flap shadowy sounds from visionary wings. But ah, not so when thus, in realms on high, the eternal voice of God is passing by, and the red winds are withering in the sky. What though in worlds which sightless cycles run, linked to a little system and one sun, where all my love is folly, and the crowd still think my terrors but the thunder cloud, the storm, the earthquake, and the ocean wrath. Ah, will they cross me in my angrier path? What though in worlds which own a single run, the sands of time grow dimmer as they run? Yet thine is my resplendency, so given to bear my secrets through the upper heaven. Leave tenantless thy crystal home and fly with all thy train athwart the moony sky. Apart, life fireflies in Sicilian night, and winged to other worlds and other light. Divulge the secrets of thy embassy to the proud orbs that twinkle, and so be. To every heart, a barrier and a ban, lest the stars totter in the guilt of man. Uprose the maiden in the yellow night, the single mooned eve. On the earth we play. Our faith to one love and one moon adore, the birthplace of young beauty had no more. As sprang that yellow star from downy hours, uprose the maiden from her shrine of flowers, and bent o'er sheeny mountain and dim plain her way, but left not yet her Thariscan reign. High on a mountain of enameled head, such as the drowsy shepherd on his bed, of giant pasturage lying at his ease, raising his heavy eyelid, starts and sees, with many a muttered hope to be forgiven, what time the moon is quadrated in heaven, of rosy head that towering far away into the sunlit ether caught the ray, of sunken suns at eve, at moon of night, while the moon danced with the fair stranger light. Upreared upon such height arose a pile of gorgeous columns of the unburthened air, flashing from Parian marble that twin smile far down upon the wave that sparkled there and nursled the young mountain in its lair. Of molten stars their pavement, such as fall through the ebon air, besilvering the pall of their own dissolution while they die, adorning then the dwellings of the sky. A dome, by linked light from heaven let down, sat gently on these columns as a crown. A window of one circular diamond there looked out above into the purple air, and rays from God shot down that meteor chain and hollowed all the beauty twice again. Save when between the Empyrean and that ring, some eager spirit flapped his dusky wing. But on the pillars, seraph eyes have seen the dimness of this world, that grayish green, that nature loves the best for beauty's grave, lurked in each cornice, round each architrave. And every sculptured cherub thereabout, that from his marble dwelling peered out, seemed earthly, in the shadow of his niche, Achaean statues in a world so rich, friezes from Tadmor to Persepolis, from Baalbek in the stilly, clear abyss, a beautiful Gomorrah. Oh, the wave is now upon thee, but too late to save. Sound loves to revel in a summer night. Witness the murmur of the gray twilight that stole upon the ear, an echo of many a wild star gazer long ago, that stealeth ever on the air of him who musing gazeth on the distance dim, and sees the darkness coming as a cloud. Is not its form, its voice, more palpable and loud? But what is this? It cometh, and it brings a music with it. 'Tis the rush of wings, a pause, and then a sweeping, falling strain. And Asachi in her halls again, in the wild energy of wanton haste. Her cheeks were flushing and her lips apart, and zone that clung around her gentle waist had burst beneath the heaving of her heart. Within the center of that hall to breathe, she paused and panted, Xanthi, all beneath the fairy light that kissed her golden hair, and longed to rest, yet could but sparkle there. Young flowers were whispering in melody to happy flowers that night, and tree to tree. Fountains were gushing music as they fell in many a starlit grove or moonlit dell. Yet silence came upon material things, fair flowers, bright waterfalls, and angel wings. And sound alone, that from the spirit sprang, bore burthen to the charm the maiden sang. Neath blue bell or streamer or tufted wild spray that keeps from the dreamer the moonbeams away, bright beings that ponder with half-closing eyes on the stars which you wonder hath drawn from the skies, till they glance through the shade and come down to your brow like eyes of the maiden who calls on you now. Arise from your dreaming in violet bowers to duty beseeming these star-litten hours, and shake from your tresses encumbered with dew the breath of those kisses that cumber them too. Oh, how without you, love, could angels be blessed, those kisses of true love that lulled ye to rest. Up, shake from your wing each hindering thing, the dew of the night, it would weigh down your flight. And true love caresses, oh, let them apart. They are light on their tresses, but lead on the heart. Legia, Legia, my beautiful one, whose harshest idea will to melody run. Oh, is it thy will on the breezes toss, or capriciously still, like the lone albatross, incumbent on night, as she on the air, to keep watch of delight on the harmony there? Legia, wherever thy image may be, no image shall sever thy music from thee. Thou hast bound many eyes in a dreamy sleep, but the strains will arise which thy vigilance keep. The sound of the rain which leaps down to the flower and dances again in the rhythm of the shower. The murmur that springs from the growing of grass are the music of things but are modeled, alas. Away then, my dearest, up high the away, to springs that lie clearest beneath the moonray, to lone lake that smiles in its dream of deep rest at the many star isles that enjewel the breast, where wild flowers creeping have mingled their shade on its margin is sleeping like full many a maid. Some have left the cool glade and have slept with the bee. Arouse them, my maiden, on moorland and lea. Go, breathe on their slumber, and softly in ear the musical number they slumber to hear. For what can awaken an angel so soon, whose sleep hath been taken beneath the cold moon, as the spell which no slumber of witchery may test, the rhythmical number which lulled him to rest. Spirits and wing and angels to the view, a thousand seraphs birth the empyrean throw, young dreams still hovering on their drowsy flight, seraphs and all but knowledge the clean light that fell refracted through thy bounds afar, O death, from eye of God upon that star. Sweet was that air, sweeter still that death. Sweet was that air, even with us, the breath of science dims the mirror of our joy to them, for the simoom it would destroy. For what to them availeth it to know that truth is falsehood, or that bliss is woe? Sweet was their death, with them to die was right, with the last ecstasy of satiate life. Beyond that death, no immortality, but sleep that pondereth is not to be. And there, oh, may my weary spirit dwell, apart from heaven's eternity, and yet how far from hell. What guilty spirit, in what shrubbery dim, heard not the stirring summons of that hymn? But two they fell, for heaven no grace imparts to those who hear not for their beating hearts. A maiden angel and her seraph lover. Oh, and ye may seek the wide skies over. Was love the blind, near sober duty known? Unguided love hath fallen mid tears of perfect moan. He was a goodly spirit, he who fell, a wanderer by mossy mantled well, a gazer on the lights that shine above, a dreamer in the moonbeam by his love. What wonder, for each star is I like there, and look so sweetly down on beauty's hair. And they in every mossy spring were holy to his love-haunted heart and melancholy. The night had found to him a night of woe. Upon a mountain crag, young Angelo, beetling, it bends athwart the solemn sky, and scowls on starry worlds that down beneath it lie. Here, say he, with his love, his dark eye bent, with eagle gaze along the firmament. Now turned it upon her, but ever then it trembled to the ore of earth again. Ianth, dearest, see how dim that ray, how lovely it is to look so far away. She seemed not thus upon that autumn eve. I left her gorgeous halls, no morn to leave. That eve, I should remember well, the sunray dropped in Lemnos with a spell. On the arabesque carving of a gilded wall wherein I sate, and on the draperied wall, and on my eyelids, oh, the heavy light, how drowsily it weighed them into the night. On flowers before and mist and love they ran, with Persian Saadi in his Gilistan. But oh, that light, I slumbered, death the while, stole o'er my senses in that lovely isle, so softly that no single silken hair awoke that slept or knew that he was there. The last spot of earth orb I trod upon was a proud temple called the Parthenon. More beauty clung around her columned wall than ever thy glowing bosom beats withal. And when old time my wing did disenthrall, then sprang I as the eagle from his tower, and years I left behind me in an hour. What time upon her airy bounds I hung, one half the garden of her globe was flung, unrolling as a chart unto my view, tenantless cities of the desert too. Ianth beauty crowded on me then, and half I wished to be again of men. My Angelo, and why of them to be? A brighter dwelling place is here for thee, and greener fields than in yon world above, and woman's loveliness and passionate love. But list, Ianthe, where the air is so soft, veiled, as my pen and spirit leapt aloft. Perhaps my brain grew dizzy, but the world I left so late was in decay's hurled. Sprang from her station on the winds apart, and rolled aflame the fiery heaven athwart. Methought my sweet one, when I ceased to soar, and fell not swiftly as I rose before, but with a downward tremulous motion throw, light brazen rays this golden star into. No long the measure of my falling hours, for nearest of all stars was thine to ours. Dread star, that came amid a night of mirth, a red dandelion on the timid earth. We came unto thy earth, but not to us, be given our lady's bidding to discuss. We came, my love, around, above, below, gay firefly, on the night we came and go. Nor ask a reason, save the angel nod, she grants to us, as granted by her God. But Angelo, then thine gray time unfurled, never his fairy wing o'er the fairier world. Dim was its little disk, and angel eyes alone could see the phantom in the skies. When first Alara knew her course to be headlong thitherward o'er the starry sea, but when its glory swelled upon the sky, as glowing beauties bust beneath man's eye, we paused before the heritage of men, and thy star trembled as doth beauty then. Thus in discourse the lovers whiled away the night that waned and waned and brought no day. They fell, for heaven to them no hope imparts, who hear not for the beating of their hearts. Thank you for listening to Sleepy. Good night.